Hello. I've really enjoyed the evening so far. Was that me? Did I make everyone laugh, or was there something else going on? You can't hear, did you say? You can hear.
Jacqueline, I thought you were here in this room. And then you...
Oh. Oh, I see.
Welcome to the virtual Wales stage.
Thank you. Thank you. I really wish I was in the room. It looks really wonderful there. And I have read in Ireland a couple of times, and they've always been the best readings because the poetry is just better over there. And the love of poetry is stronger over there. And the welcoming of immigrants is better over there. And, you know, you've got a lot going for you. And I'm very pleased to be part of this, but I really wish I was in the same room. Having said that, it is great to be here anyway, and I'm going to read you a variety of poems from a variety of collections, but perhaps focus quite a lot on this book, which is 100 Lockdown Sonnets, that I wrote 100 sonnets over the first 100 days of the first lockdown in England, which started on the 23rd of March, 2020. And I didn't set out to write 100 sonnets at all. I set out just to stop myself going mad. So I needed some kind of focus. So I chose sonnets because I knew that I could do those. So I was very surprised when I ended up with a book. But it's really interesting to look at them now because I think they remind me of what I was going through. And I think, you know, we've got a collectively very, we don't want to remember a lot of this stuff. So I'm going to first of all read Sonnet 3, which is from the 25th of March 2020. So it's nearly 2 years ago now. And I went for a walk with my daughter who was living on the other side of London. And at that point, we were at social distancing. We were in social distancing mode. Obviously, we had no idea what we were in for at all. And a lot of these sonnets have got a little epigraph at the top. And this one, 25th of March 2020, the BBC News quoted Donald Trump. Trump says the US is beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Alas, there is no plan. There are no eggs, no bread. Compassion's nearly out of stock, but we can walk together in the park, keeping our distance. Spring is here. She bends her spine towards the light and takes her place amid the joy of things. She will not stop her rhymes of blossoms reaching out and up towards the sun. She will not slow her pace towards full frontal ecstasy. She knows only one way to hold this world. Our pain is not her pain. We must move on, stay close without touching, share the climbing light of day, build our wall of faith against the flood and try to talk of other things, like love. I chose that one mainly because I've been very conscious over the last week or two of spring coming and all these beautiful things happening while we are, you know, while these terrible events are unfolding in Ukraine. And so I thought I'd carry on now with a new poem, which is probably from my next collection, which will be coming out sometime in 2023, I hope. And when I started writing this collection, it was going to be really about my Jewish background, about my family. I was brought up as a left-wing secular Jew, but I'm very interested in Jewishness. And I was thinking particularly of things around belonging, migration, exodus, movement of people, and how what had happened to Jewish people was being paralleled in other big movements. But when I started writing this, obviously I had no idea of where we would find ourselves at this time. So this is called, this is a poem about belonging and fear, and it's called Anxious Jewish Poem. Jewish Brits are mostly quiet, hiding under hats and breathing lightly, eagerly inaudible in Jewish whispers, stretched and tuned to bashful British, as Jewish deputies doff their kippot and stand to sing for Queen and country. It's been a Jewish while since records of a Jewish wave, and you might say we're safe. We pass for now, and some of Jewish us do not observe at all. But Jewish who would trust the territory, its Jewish folds and shifts, ancient slurs that blur on, cringe and bleed through skin of memory? Jewish history churns. Red paint spits the Yids, Fagins, Shylocks, still the Jewish money gags, nose jobs, sentries at the gates. So keep your Jewish head down and your Jewish case well packed, and when push comes to Jewish shove, as has been proved and proved again, my Jewish friends, however Jewish you are not, they won't forget your Jewish children and your Jewish God, your tarnished candlesticks, your stars, your rusty mazeltofs, your Jewish books. Never assume. Accept your Jewish bread unleavened. Always be prepared to move. Thank you for the lovely applause. You know, I'm thinking of the 1.5 million people who so far have already moved out of Ukraine, not to mention all the dissident Russians who've moved out of Russia. That, you know, history has this weird way of repeating itself, doesn't it? So this is a very new one. I haven't really read this to anybody, but I thought I would share it because in a very dark moment. I wrote it in a very dark moment. This is called War Games. At least that's what it's called for now. Despair is the parcel we pass amongst us. Round and round it goes. It is good to share, we say. One by one, each of us adds our own small and pointless contribution until the music stops. Now the parcel is so heavy, nobody can lift it anymore. No matter. It has learned how to grow without our help. We leave despair in the centre of the circle and stare at it. It does nothing. It is not ashamed. It stares right back at us from one huge screaming eye. It is going to get more cheerful in a bit, so it's going to be a bit of an emotional roller coaster, I think. So this is the only other one that I've written recently. I don't know if any of you saw it, but there was a short film going around on Twitter, particularly, of the moment a Russian helicopter was shot down. And, the poem is very short, but it tells my story of that poem. So it's called, of that video, so it's called, this poem is called The Moment a Russian Helicopter is Shot Down. I do not want to see this. For God's sake, I'm a pacifist. I watch it 14 times, then put it on my favourites list. That's the end of the poem. Yeah, you know that feeling, you know, I don't want to feel like that. And I know about these poor Russian boys who are being sent off to die in Ukraine. And yet there is still this part of me that really wanted to watch that video. Moving back to the sonnets, because we'll do a bit of time travel here. So this is the 14th of April, 2020. And this is Sonnet 23. And this, again, the governor, Andrew Cuomo, who was the governor of New York at the time. 14th of April 2020, he said, "Yes, I think you can say the worst is over." Isn't it amazing to be reminded of these things? So I went for walks every day, as most of us did. And so this is a story of one of my walks in spring. London's gone psychedelic. Parakeets glow luminous through branches. The high grass is surely tripping with the trees on speed. The sky is flirty blue. The clouds are cast in platinum. Leaf speaks in tongues of awe as fledgling redbreasts get their kicks on Stepney Green, crowdsourcing their songs. Nature performs her usual tricks, pulling chicks from eggs and rabbits out of rabbits. Voila! And today, I'm walking out with Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. Glutted with song and colour, sun turned to extra shine, my heart on double shifts. A shaking happiness steals in. It will not last. I hold it while I can. Yeah, so I think we have to, you know, whatever terrible things are going on, that's all the more reason to hold on to the good moments. One of the things that was happening here, at any rate, was that people were boasting a lot about all the amazing things they were doing during lockdown. And that's where I got the idea for writing this poem, which was Sonnet 27 from the 18th of April 2020. And the Daily Mail said, Boris bounces back to get Britain moving. My day begins with green, like tea or grass. I'm learning Cantonese and Mandarin. I'm reading Ulysses and Gormenghast and Plato while I'm training to be thin. I'm shedding all my doubts. I'm knitting sieves and sand. I write a symphony a week. I grow my own arugula. I live on air, philosophy and ancient Greek. I'm breeding ants and sheep and minotaurs to save my mental health. I do not want for company or mutton, wool or horn. The PhD is done. I'm looking hot. James Joyce has said my novel's bloody great and Mervyn Peake has asked me on a date. It's all true. It's all true. I'm going to move on to Dad, Remember You Are Dead, which was the collection that came out whenever it was, 2019. And this was sort of largely focused around my relationship with my father, but in a wider sense, it came very much out of what had happened in the Me Too movement. And it was a general roar of rage towards patriarchy. So this is a kind of rollicking ballad about my father, who was actually married 5 times. My mother was his first wife, and this poem is about the first time I met his 5th wife when he was in his 80s, and he brought her to London to meet me. He actually lived in South Africa. He brought her to London to meet me, and he booked a lunch in a restaurant in a street in the city of London called Seething Lane, which, as you can imagine, was like a red rag to a bull when it came to me and poetry. Seething Lane, I thought there has to be a poem there. So this is it. Offal. It's called Offal. My father had a thing for flesh. He liked his tripe and faggots fresh. And offal was his favourite dish, washed down with cold champagne. A tender sweetbread needs no knife and gives you potency for life. Let's lunch, you'll meet my latest wife in sunny Seething Lane. And there she was, all silk and shine. She must have robbed a diamond mine. She chose the most expensive wine. His protests were in vain. For reasons hard to understand, to him she was a Newfoundland. And there they postured, hand in hand, loved up in Seething Lane. It's not finished yet. She picked the caviar. She picked the caviar to start. I opted for a sour grape tart. My father, with his swollen heart, refusing to abstain, went for the usual, licked his lips, gyrated on his dodgy hip, and took her in a lusty grip, for this was Seething Lane. My father claimed he'd only strayed because he wasn't getting laid. He tweaked his squeaky hearing aid and groped his wife again. His recent ex, a lifelong prude, refused to screw him in the nude, he sighed, while getting slowly stewed on gin in Seething Lane. The sun slipped down like lemon curd. The myths and shadows rose as birds. Was that my mother's cry I heard, or just the wail of rain? Was that my mother's hand I saw, the golden ring she never wore, poised on the handle of the door, right here in Seething Lane? My father coughed. I'm not so young, but look, at last I've found the one. He didn't see the devilled tongue go flaccid with disdain, nor spy my mother, decades dead, her halo pale, her lipstick red, crash in and hover overhead to gloat at Seething Lane. Her feathers seemed to brush my hair. I felt her breathing, hot and rare. If only she were really there, that strange, familiar pain. My father belched. My mother spat and swore at him. Ah, tit for tat, at least I was well out of that, thank God, in Seething Lane. No matter, this is commonplace. The new wife with the old wife's face. Your father's in it for the chase, but not the ball and chain, my mother said. Enough of this, I'm off, it's late. She blew a kiss, flew out to find eternal bliss, away from Seething Lane. The awful glistened on the plate. I watched my father salivate. He bit the heart in half and ate a hefty chunk of brain, then took a slender slice of spleen and fed it to his newfound queen. She swallowed, turning slightly green in ghastly Seething Lane. I'm not ashamed to admit that I had a lot of trouble finding a publisher for that poem. I sent it to a lot of places because I was really pleased with it. I think it's not fashionable, that type of writing, your metric rhyming poem, but it is my most requested live poem. So I think that kind of tells you something about how maybe we ought to be more open to that type of thing. I can't remember what time I started. Did anyone make a note of the time?
We're doing all right. We started just before 22, so we're almost 20 minutes
in. Okay, so I'm just going to read a couple more. I'll read it.
Yes, we have about
a couple more sonnets, and then one more poem. So, yes. So this is sonnet 56. I have to do. Put them in Roman numerals, so I have to do the math every time I read one out. This is from the 17th of May 2020. 17th of May 2020, Britain on fast track to virus recovery, said the Sunday Express. I'm lost, the daily entry still unwritten, a fractious day reaching its close. I sit and slump and scratch my life, submitting to the possible, the empty page. Damn it. But look, the morning walk rolls in, the song of tree and bird is working in my ear. Duck eggs are hatching underneath the sun, and I remember poetry's a form of prayer. I bless this room, this pen, this wooden stool. I bless the struggle and the inner light, my absent gods, my disbelieving soul, my heart in free fall and the hands that write the loosening, the body's sure revolt against the mind. These tears, salt, sweet, salt. That's a poem for the poets. So here's my sonnet 80, 8 from the 18th of June. The singer of We'll Meet Again, who entertained troops in World War II, has died, said the BBC News. So this is my last poem. Thank you very much for listening and for your laughter and your applause. And I'm not in the room, but I almost feel like I'm in the room. I'm very grateful for that. The anthropologists will have their day. History will come for us. We don't know what we're living through. We see only how high the walls, how fake the news, how deep the rut. We dizzy in our twisting narratives. We try to find the light. Our working heads knock out a plot. We track and trace. Our gifts are all we've got, and Vera Lynn is dead. End of an era, myth of a common cause, and what's the bloody point of art? Oh, please, who else will tell the whip and wheeze? Our loss must not be of imagination. The libraries of the mind are open. The alchemy is strong. The dark dream howls and shows its teeth. Bring it on.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline, for a really marvellous reading. I think you can hear how much everybody here enjoyed that. That was wonderful. Jacqueline Safra.